It's time to learn what's happening in nearby Sauk Prairie. Raul Labrèche is here with another edition of Mornings at McFarland's from our 99.7 FM studios at McFarland's in Sauk City. Today's program is brought to you by DeMars Plumbing, Prairie Clinic, and Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gift Shop.
Nothing could be finer than to be. Yeah. On Carolina in the morning. Nothing gives me grins like a chat with Kathy Lins at McFarland's. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Kathy Lins is sitting across the table from me. Just excitement exudes from every pore of her body and mine whenever we get to talk to each other. Good morning, Kathy. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And you look smiley as usual. I don't know. Those of you that don't know Kathy, haven't met her personally, she has a smile on her face, I think, constantly. Did your face grow into that position now, so you can't frown? I just don't know what a frown would even look like on your face, Kathy. It's just wonderful.
I'll take the win.
There you go. Very smart. And those of you that don't know, Kathy is the executive director at Durwood's Glen. Just what is Durwood's Glen? Is that north of town for Prairie? Okay. I always get confused because when you get out
right in between 33 and 78.
Okay. So it's always confusing to me because when you get out onto 78 and whatnot and you're winding all around and whatnot, you know, which direction am I going again? Anyways, but if you've never been out to Durwood's Glen, those of you that are listening this morning, oh my gosh, please find some time to get out there. Just a wonderful...
Especially with the weather we're having right now, because it's supposed to be beautiful the next few days. We've got 37 acres out there that are open to the public as long as the sun is up. And people come and take advantage of that. We've got wetlands. We've got walking paths. Now, if you're looking for the serious hike, yeah, you probably want to go to Devil's Lake. I'm just going to call, and that's about 7 minutes away. But if you're looking for that nice walk through the woods, that we can help you with.
Well, and just some place to sort of sit back and be contemplative, you know, and call it what it is. Because it was originally, wasn't Durwood's Glen set up as that? I mean, it was supposed to be a contemplative retreat for...
Well, it went under the St. Camillus Order, yes. Okay. It was a novitiate until 2007, which says, some people are like, what's a novitiate? Mm-hmm. It's a seminary for the formation of their priests, but they always make the grounds open to the public.
Sure.
In fact, I was laughing and talking with some of my aunts who are in their 70s and 80s, who are like, as soon as I got hired there, oh, we went there all the time as kids. This is so good. And I'm like, and you never took me? This is how it is now. Okay, I see now what's going on. But they still love talking about their childhood.
Sure. Well, it's such a peaceful, serene place. In fact, the last time you were on the show, you were talking about an art event that you had going on out there.
The plein air event we had with the Fall Festival.
How did that all go?
Went great. We had 13 different artists came, and they produced, if you could imagine a tent for about 150 people.
Sure.
We needed all of that space to put up all the artwork they created in that week.
Wow.
And we had over 1,400 people show up, which is the biggest group we've ever had. And people came up and just like, this is so much fun. This is so great.
And a plein air event is when you invite artists to come and just sort of create in the environment,
right? They paint what they see as they see it in the outer doors.
Okay.
And they have a week to do it, put everything up for sale, and have it ready to go.
Well, I remember reading something in the paper, too, and wasn't there some concern because the weather was kind of dicey? There were some rainy days in there.
It was a little on the chillier side, and yet the artists were like, this is just a beautiful place.
Okay.
Most of them came from across the state, some from other states, and they're like, we had no idea this was here. So they're like, we are so coming back.
Wonderful. So you'll have it again next year.
We're working on this, trying to plan. We're definitely having the fall festival and doing the craft piece of it. Okay. We need to get more of the judges and all those other things in there as well.
Sure. Boy, the amount of logistics that are involved in an event like that, you don't think about it until you're in the midst of it and then go, what was I thinking when I put this on the docket?
It seemed like a good idea.
Yeah, it seemed like, maybe I should have my head examined. So, which brings us to, you have another event much more, what's coming up very shortly. So I wanted to say recent, but that means it's in the past, and it's not in the past, it's coming up. Next weekend, right?
It's on the 12th and 13th of May.
Okay.
It's the Gathering on Mental Health.
Okay.
And part of it came to be because we're hearing from the different hospitals around us in, you know, Baraboo and Sauk and Portage, that mental health is one of their biggest concerns.
Sure.
And yet, for a number of them, they said, we're not entirely sure how to take this on. How are we going to address this?
Yeah.
And it was particularly a wake-up call for me because I was asked to, I do a lot of public speaking for different groups, and I was asked to speak at a state conference on mental illness for people living with mental illness.
Okay.
And I was talking particularly about the church component and how the church can be a source of support. Mm-hmm. And the reason that becomes an even bigger issue is because in the research, it shows that when people start to develop problems, usually the number one place that they go to first is not doctors. It's the church.
Sure.
And sure. Most of the church folks that I was talking to said, I have no idea what to do.
Right, right.
And so when I talked to folks at that particular conference and I talked about the church, I had two groups of 40 people turn on me in a heartbeat to say, let me tell you what my experience was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't good.
Yeah.
And I thought, Lord, I'm going to just stay here with them and listen and apologize that that was their experience. But I thought, okay, this is a wake-up call. There's more that we need to be doing here. And that's literally how our first gathering came together. We brought up someone from the Archdiocese of Chicago who was a national advocate on mental health last year and had a number of different workshops and breakouts. And people said, this was fantastic. We need, this can't be the one and only. This sure. needs to be a regular conversation that we had.
Sure.
So this year, as we got ready, we said, okay, we're not going to go for quite so many speakers this year because we want to do really be focused. And one of the things that came up was how do we handle trauma? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look around us right now, we find that we've got returning military folks who are dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Sure.
We have assault victims, violence victims, hurricanes and tornadoes and any of those things can cause trauma.
Sure.
Anything that overwhelms your ability to cope, overwhelms your brain's ability to deal with what's right in front of you.
Sure.
And it can develop into the post-traumatic stress if it's not processed properly.
Sure.
And so we brought in, or bringing in, Scott Webb, who is himself a trauma survivor, but for the last couple of years has been the state speaker on trauma-informed communities.
Okay.
Now, he has just recently switched over to the DOT, the Department of Transportation, because he found that he couldn't take care of himself and keep up with the training schedule because there's such a demand out there.
Yeah.
But he said, I am definitely coming to come talk to your community about this particular piece. So he's coming for this.
So he drove on off to the Department of Transportation.
The Department of Transportation has said, you're going to have the day off and
sure.
we'll cover it.
Sure.
Go. Go do this.
Boy.
And you know, it's the opportunity for folks to really take a look and say, what is trauma? Come to understand right. with that piece. He's also been talking about the ACEs study, which was done by the Kaiser Foundation. What they looked at is all the different ways when they see where there was childhood trauma
mm-hmm.
and when it wasn't processed and how many different incidents do you have that increases the likelihood of mental health issues, substance abuse issues, and other problems along the way. People are finding that it's inflammation problems,
sure.
all because the trauma was never processed in the first place.
Sure. Well, it's been such an interesting thing for me growing up, and my bachelor's degree was in psychology, so I did a lot of study of, you know, abnormal psychology and experiential psychology, you know, different things at that time, which was, you know, 70s and 80s. And I remember as I was reading things through things going, oh, that's my Uncle Joe. Oh, that's my Aunt Ellen. I mean, you just kind of, oh, wait a minute, that's me, you know. And that was still in the day, I think, we were just kind of coming out of the stigma era of, you know, treating it like there's something wrong with you that you have this problem, you know. And it's just so steeped in a pejorative kind of condemnatory attitude that it makes it really difficult for people to talk about the traumas that they've been through. And yet, when you think about it, I mean, stop and, you know, think about it. How is this any different than having a finger cut off when you're a child or having, you know, a severe wound to your leg that makes it difficult for you to walk? There's really no difference. You wouldn't say to the person that has, you know, a bad limp from a leg injury, you know, well, what's wrong with you that you can't walk normally? You know, well, I had this. Oh, I'm sorry. You had that. Oh, okay. Well, that makes total sense. But when people have these kinds of injuries that are hidden, you can't necessarily see them. And it seems like, oh, well, they're just a normal person like I am. What's normal? So, but it's so difficult, I think, for people to realize that trauma is a real thing. Mental trauma is a real thing, and it has real consequences, and those consequences manifest themselves in a bunch of different ways.
And also often the big question that when you're seeing someone who's reacting out because of trauma, our number one response tends to be, what's wrong with them?
Yeah.
Instead of asking, what's happened to them?
Right.
And how are they coping?
Right.
Because oftentimes when you see some of the, I think of examples of that, of people who are obsessively checking doorknobs to make sure that they're locked, or checking to see this, or what could only touch or do certain things in a certain manner.
Right. Right.
And when you ask them about what happened to them, more often than not, their behavior makes perfectly good sense in context with what sure. they've been through.
Sure.
But so it means that we have to shift our conversation from what's wrong to what happened.
Right.
How are you coping, and how can I support you? And that's really what Scott's going to try to get at, is how do we create those supportive communities to help with that particular piece?
Well, then I would think helping people to find perhaps a more constructive way of coping, a way that is going to at least hopefully result in some more positive outcomes, because I think that's part of the difficulty with it too, is you do tend to learn coping strategies that one of my coping strategies was always kind of making jokes about things. It helps kind of take you away from the pain, you know, mm-hmm. the difficulty of the thoughts that you're having. So if you can make a joke about it, then it's okay, right?
It's somewhere else.
Right.
It's farther away from here, right now.
Right. But then you end up getting to the point where you become the clown and everyone's expecting you to be the jokester, and you just don't feel like it sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's nothing funny about what I'm feeling right now, but then you're like, well, you got to be funny, you're the funny one, you know. It's so it is interesting how we, you know, we learn those coping strategies that help, but you know, sometimes you have to be able to also say, you know what, I'm just not in the mood today, I'm sorry.
So, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, and for folks who are dealing with the post-traumatic stress disorder, I mean, I think the biggest thing I hear people say is, well, why can't they just let that go? That was back then. And it's one of those things where, like, you know, if they could let it go, they would be all for it. But their brain is not willing to let it go yet.
Yeah.
It's that subconscious level where stuff, well, I mean, they re-experience things. They see something that reminds them of it, and
sure.
suddenly they re-experience it all over again.
Sure.
And one of the first things they have to do in therapy is to help people feel safe. If they've had something happen to them, if it's violence or things like that, they have to actually know that they're safe before they can even begin to try to work through and process some of those memories.
Sure. Well, if you're just tuning into the show right now, you hopefully have figured out by now. And if you haven't, I'll let you know. We're talking with Kathy Linz, Executive Director of Durwood's Glen, here just north and kind of in between us and Baraboo and a lot of other places. Anyways, there's a great event coming up there next week, Friday, May 12th and May 13th, Saturday. We're going to be talking more about, so don't go anywhere. If you're listening here on WRPQ Radio 99.7, you do not, I say, you do not want to go anywhere, because we've got lots more to talk about when we come back from this quick commercial break. Thanks for being with us this morning.
DeMars Plumbing, since 1982, is the plumbing company to turn to for quality design, installation, maintenance, and repair of residential and business plumbing systems. DeMars Plumbing specializes in plumbing fixtures and water heaters, septic systems, private water well systems, radiant in-floor heating, and excavating and trucking needs. DeMars Plumbing, located just west of Sauk Prairie. They're open weekdays 7 to 5. Call 608-544-4471. Online at DemarsPlumbing.com. Have you noticed? People are moving their exercise from indoors to outdoors. Enjoying the warm weather while training for spring and summer sports is exhilarating. Sometimes that exhilaration leads to overdoing, causing injury, especially if you're prone to old injuries, haven't worked out for a while, or didn't properly warm up. When injuries occur, the family medicine providers of Prairie Clinic are here to care for your sports injury needs. Call 608-643-3351 to schedule an appointment at Prairie Clinic, 112 Helen Street in Sauk City. Emerald is the birthstone for the month of May. Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gifts in the Baraboo Mini Mall carries a variety of beautiful emerald pieces. This popular precious gemstone is available in earrings, pendants, rings, and bracelets in settings of white gold, yellow gold, or sterling silver. Celebrate May with a beautiful emerald piece from Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gifts on Highway 12 in the Baraboo Mini Mall. Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gifts, where good things do come in small packages.
And we're back talking with Kathy Lenz this morning, Executive Director of Durwood's Glen Retreat Center. We were just talking a little bit more while we were off the air during commercial break and realizing how much society's attitudes have changed over the course of time, just in my lifetime. I mean, when I think of, you know, growing up, you know, there was such an embarrassment over having someone that was, you know, struggling with mental health issues of any sort. You know, they're crazy. They need to be put away in a, you know, some sort of an institution where we don't have to look at them. You know, we don't have, and even treating them like a form of amusement sometimes. You know, I think of like shows that I've directed or been a part of where there's a crazy loony person in it that, you know, is just made fun of, you know, used as a point of comic reference. But if you really took the moment to think about, no, that really is a real manifestation in some people, and it's really not that funny. But, you know, that was our attitude as a culture, as a society.
It's something they still don't want to talk about. Yeah. I was working with a national training. I told you that I would do AmeriCorps Vista training. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to me because people were talking about living in poverty. That was easier for them to do than to admit that they were dealing with a mental health challenge.
Sure.
People will come talk to me one-on-one, and I'm like, wow, poverty, which is still seen as a stigma, was even more easier to talk about than mental health. That they were not as willing to come forward with.
And isn't that interesting? You have that experience of people talking about going into church settings, which, you know, should be a safe haven. And we know now with contemporary mental health practice that one of the things people have to feel is a sense of safety in order for them to start to heal. So here they're going into an environment where you would think you would be safe, but because the people that they're going to talk with just don't have the training, I mean, they don't understand what's that? I was thinking of that old saying, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. You know? So, and there was sort of that thing going on. You know, they're very scripturally adept and very attuned into scriptural matters. But when it comes to applying those things to the struggles that people go through daily, it was very difficult for them. So here you are pouring your heart out.
And it's still, in some ways, still happening. That's still a challenge along the way.
Yeah.
I was talking with Deacon Tom Lampert at last year's, and he said, the truth of the matter is, if you talk to most of the priests and pastors, most of them have never been to the psychiatric hospital, but they'll go visit their other folks at hospitals, but they don't generally go to the psychiatric hospital.
Sure.
And his own daughter was in the psychiatric hospital, and she would say to him, Dad, please bring me the bread. And he's like, she wants me to bring her communion. She, even where she is, she knows
she needs that.
She
wants
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's that. That's that opportunity. I think what was also interesting, we had different volunteers, people who were living with mental health challenges, take on various roles during last year's event. And several of them came back and said, that was so cool. People don't generally treat me that way. I'm mm-hmm. not invited to serve in a leadership role, to serve in the... And which was another wake-up call to say, what are we doing? How are we operating? And they said to me, is there something more we could do? And so we're working with the WISE organization, which is a statewide coalition trying to address stigma around mental health.
Okay.
And one of the most powerful ways that they find that works in that area is to have people tell their personal story. And so the second part of this particular training program on Friday night through Saturday is for people who are living with mental health challenges to discern, am I prepared to disclose that?
Sure.
And what are the advantages, the costs, to actually doing that piece? And I love what they talk about there because it's the, what are the costs and benefits if I do, but what are the costs and the benefits if I don't?
Right.
You know, right. What's the trade-off there?
Right.
And then if they decide, I really do want to do that, then here's how you would put that together. And they actually, part of the reason that they're doing it Friday night through Saturday is they want them to have that chance to discern, is that what I want to do? And if it is, I want to then practice, because you couldn't have a safer group than that group right there, so that you can then practice telling your story as an advocate going forward.
You know, I'm thinking as I'm listening to you talk, Kathy, too, that I'm almost getting to the point now in my ripe old age of 56 where I almost don't trust people anymore that get up and do presentations and want to be leaders in communities and can't admit fundamentally how they're screwed up. You know, it's almost like I accept it more now as a set, a sign of credibility and a sense of genuineness and authority. If someone can truthfully say to me, you know what, I'd like to be able to do this, but I got to tell you, I don't know if I'm up to it because I'm struggling with this and I'm struggling with this. I think there's more hope for that person being a really effective, genuine, authentic, powerful leader than there is for someone that says, well, you know, I've never had any mental health issues, and I think anyone that does is weak. Weak. You know, it's
or
like,
I've read about it.
Yeah, I've read about a lot, you know. It's just like, really? Seriously? Because I think all of us carry around different degrees of trauma in our life. I mean, there are, you know, missed opportunities. There are ways that people were mean and harsh to us that, you know, something that's mean and harsh to me may not be mean and harsh to you, but you took it that way and it hurts you deeply. I'm constantly made aware of that with my kids. You know, that really hurt, Dad. It did. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Well, it did. You know, you have to go back and figure it out and try not to do it again. Right. But
that becomes the dance here, because while you're talking about credibility, they're also weighing, what are my job chances?
Yeah.
What are my housing chances?
Yeah.
What? Because there are, in fact, some folk, I've had people come to me and say, well, yes, but if someone actually reported that, I wouldn't have to keep them employed, would I?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's actually a disability. It's recognized by the, you know, the Disability Act. But yeah. But the fact that that's even a consideration,
right,
or that they have to balance to say, I've got to keep a roof over my head.
Right.
How do I do that in that effort to then also help people?
Right.
Again, it's that cost benefit.
Right.
Of what will it cost me? What will I lose?
Well, that vulnerability is a very, very difficult thing. When I am weak, then he is strong. You know,
mm-hmm.
I always think of that all the time. So you have two different events going on. So Friday is the more the trauma.
And that is for folks who are churches. I hope we have a good turnout of churches. We could use a few more signing up.
Okay.
We've got mental health providers. We've got human service folks coming. We've got people living with mental health challenges, their family, their support. So a real mix on that Friday during the day. It's come from 9 until 4 o'clock that day, working
okay.
with Scott Webb.
Okay.
And then Friday night, starting at 5 o'clock, going through lunch on Saturday, we have the Y Center section on Honest, Open, and Proud, addressing mental health stigma.
Okay, and that's open to anyone that wants to just deal with, okay.
But they do need to be, because we've had people say, well, I don't have a mental health challenge, can I still come? And I'm like, this is actually for people who do have mental health challenges,
right,
so that they can, in fact, discern that process.
Not looking for voyeurs, or looking for people that are challenged and dealing
mm-hmm.
with, well, and openly dealing with it, so.
Mm-hmm. So, or at least starting to.
If you were going to encourage someone that was thinking about doing it and was concerned because of the, I mean, there are still stigmas. I don't think we're past that yet. Just like we're not to the point where we have truly, you know, racial equality either, as much as, you know, we try to make efforts towards it. But what would you say to someone who's thinking about this and would like, what should they expect to get out of the...
It's that chance to really discern where are they at, but know that everybody else who is coming Friday night and Saturday are in that same spot that they are of, you know, it's a moment of vulnerability to admit that that's where I'm at, but I'm willing to look and say, is this something that would benefit me, benefit the greater community as well?
So how is that session going to be facilitated then?
It is by a team of trained folks from the WISE organization and Rogers Health.
Okay.
So they, NAMI, Wisconsin, Rogers Health, and some of the other leading mental health organizations are the folks who come in to help lead that facilitation.
Okay.
So they're very experienced in this area. And again, Rogers Health is looking at what's the research say? This is what we can show you that makes a difference.
Sure. Well, and we've seen that in our own community that, you know, I guess you'd say the symptoms or the warning signs that those issues are prevalent and they need to be dealt with. And we've had suicides in the school system in the area. You know, kids that, you know, people say they didn't know how bad it was until that happened. And yet it would seem to me, not knowing the particulars of it, but it would seem to me that if we could train people better, we wouldn't be as caught off guard by as many of those. I don't know that we could prevent all of them. I would sure like to hope and pray that we could. But doesn't it seem to you that part of this process is if you can recognize it more deeply and more profoundly, more acutely in yourself, perhaps you can recognize it in others as well?
As well. And there's some other supplemental trainings that, and I should just mention, Prevent Suicide, Columbia County, who actually helped lead the training down here in Sauk City as well, is actually a co-sponsor with us. They're helping to push this particular piece. But one piece that I was reading just this morning talked about how so often when suicide is the issue, it's not the only issue, and it's not the topic that people call about when they call the hotline. Okay. They talk about, I'm having this housing issue, I'm having this employment issue, I'm having this relationship issue that has then, because those things aren't being addressed, is now bringing them to the brink of looking at, maybe I'd be better off not being here.
What about
which is then an interesting balance there of what's not getting addressed.
What about the people that are on the outside looking in? I mean, if you're involved in a relationship, say, with someone that's struggling with some real trauma issues, is this a good forum for those people as well?
The Friday would be, yeah, Friday. The Friday during the day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but again, if this evening and day would have to be the person that you'd encourage the person that you're struggling to help to come to that session.
To come to that session.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So,
and again, it could be trauma. It could be any other area of mental health.
Sure.
For the Friday night through Saturday.
Ivy, so much to talk about, so little time.
And it's always our dance because there's so much within this area trying to pick and choose what parts can we handle well and then, you know, have that part of the conversation continue.
Right.
Well, and now May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Yeah. So hopefully that'll be something that we're all putting in at our churches, at our businesses, because the thing that I always think it's interesting when people say to me, well, Kathy, that's for those people who have mental health challenges. It's like, well, guess what? We all have mental health. Where you fall on the spectrum can actually shift and change.
Right.
You could be struggling at one point, but then move back to the side of wellness again.
Sure.
And that's what we'd like to see happen. But it only happens when we acknowledge we all have mental health.
Well, and I think it's an issue. It's always interesting to me that you can tell, I think, people that have dealt with trauma successfully and unsuccessfully over the course of their lifetimes, and the people that have just never had, you know, the really serious things happen. Because the ones that have never had it, something horrible happens and they just are like deer being hit in the headlights going, why did this happen? Why is this? Why? And they can't. They just can't cope because they don't have that coping strategies. They don't have that ability to recognize that, you know, sometimes you don't know why. You just can't answer that question. And you need to get past the why and just say, well, how do I proceed from here? What do I need in order to feel healthy again? What are the things, that the steps I need to take?
And sometimes it's even keep it, what's the one thing I can do right now?
Right. Right.
Exactly. It's like, the steps are beyond me. I just need one action. Pick one.
Get out of bed. So have a bowl of cereal. Yeah.
Shower, please.
Well, yeah, we laugh about it, but comedy is not funny, you know. Oh, yeah, so much. Well, we're going to take another quick break. If you've been listening, we're talking with Kathy Lins, the Executive Director of Durwood's Glen Resort and Retreat Center. We'll be back in just a little bit. We'll wrap up with Kathy. I've got community announcements to do, but Kathy's got some great events coming up next weekend, Friday, May 12th and Saturday, May 13th. We'll do another quick blurb about that, as well as a gala event you've got coming up the week
the
after that.
Mm-hmm.
So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on WRPQ Radio 99.7 FM in Baraboo and Sauk Prairie.
Diamonds. Just the word makes a person's eyes sparkle. When it's time to give your special someone a diamond, make sure you know the jeweler you're dealing with. Trust Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gifts in the Baraboo Mini Mall. They offer a gorgeous selection of diamond engagement rings in their diamond center. Sophie's also offers diamond earrings, pendants, and bracelets, too. Ideal gifts anytime. In-store financing to qualified credit with up to 1 year interest-free terms. Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gifts in the Baraboo Mini Mall, Highway 12, Baraboo.
DeMars Plumbing, since 1982, is the plumbing company to turn to for quality design, installation, maintenance, and repair of residential and business plumbing systems. DeMars Plumbing specializes in plumbing fixtures and water heaters, septic systems, private water well systems, radiant in-floor heating, and excavating and trucking needs. DeMars Plumbing, located just west of Sauk Prairie. They're open weekdays 7 to 5. Call 608-544-4471. Online at DemarsPlumbing.com. Have you noticed? People are moving their exercise from indoors to outdoors. Enjoying the warm weather while training for spring and summer sports is exhilarating. Sometimes that exhilaration leads to overdoing, causing injury, especially if you're prone to old injuries, haven't worked out for a while, or didn't properly warm up. When injuries occur, the family medicine providers of Prairie Clinic are here to care for your sports injury needs. Call 608-643-3351 to schedule an appointment at Prairie Clinic, 112 Helen Street in Sauk City.